When this word was born in my heart initially, the first title or topic that the Lord gave was, "Is your heart grateful?" But right now, as I was about to stand up, step up onto the pulpit, the word changed to, "What measure is in your heart?" So in accordance with the Holy Spirit, today's message is titled, "What measure is in your heart?" Amen. I want to take my first Bible text today from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I want to read from verses 16 to 19, but I want to emphasize on 18 and 19. Rejoice, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to also read Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Now, before I go into what the message is, well, actually, I am going to go into what the message is. I want to let you know that this particular message was born by the Holy Spirit. When the word was put in my heart, I didn't know why initially, but until certain things happened, I realized that this word is a word for right now. I want to give an analogy, and I ask that you please follow this analogy. We're all going from a journey, on a journey, and we're going to get somewhere by the grace of God. Now, I do not know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know how to bake a cake, but I want to use the analogy of baking a cake. And if I am wrong somewhere, just excuse me. Okay, I don't know how to bake a cake. Now, in order to bake a cake, you need certain ingredients. The first thing you need, I believe, is you need flour. I believe you also need salt, maybe a pinch of salt. I might be wrong, I might be right, but just bear with me. I also want to believe that you need some cream or milk. You also should need sugar, I believe. And then I believe that you also need like a stick of butter. Now, all of these individual items by themselves, I am borrowing this analogy from Dr. Tony Evans. It's not my original analogy. Now, all these individual items or ingredients by themselves are very unappealing. If I invited you or you invited me and said, "Let's sit down and have a stick of butter," I'm not sure I would be enthused to sit down with you. Or, "Can you share this bowl of flour with me?" I don't think I'm going to be enthused or want to sit down. I might sit down out of respect, but I'll be wondering, why are we sharing a bowl of flour or a stick of butter, you know? But when you put all of these ingredients together in whatever measure is required, and then you mix everything together, and then you churn, and then it becomes what I would call a batter. Now, becomes a lumpy batter. It doesn't have any appeal. Even the batter will not look any appealing. But you put it in a bowl and then you put it in an oven. Now, the heat of the oven begins to cook the cake. Now, when the oven receives the cake initially, it still won't have an appealing smell, at least as far as I'm concerned. But when we give it time, right? You give it time, and then the aroma begins to change. Then the aroma begins to start becoming appealing. And then the aroma starts becoming, you know, something that you're interested in. And then eventually the cake is ready. It's cooked and it's baked. You bring it out of the oven. I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to taste it at that point. You see, this analogy is like our individual prayers. Sometimes when we go to the place of prayer, the Lord will give you a stick of butter. And you're wondering, why a stick of butter? The Lord gives you a bowl of flour. You wonder, what do you want to do with a bowl of flour? But Romans 8:28 tells us what? For I know. Tell your neighbor, I know. That all things work together for my good. So by the time all this ingredient comes out from the oven, you have a cake, a nice smelling cake, meaning that all of these ingredients put together had a function that they had to perform in that cake. That is how I see our attitude towards Thanksgiving. Dr. Tony Evans also said something that humbled me, that do we all realize one way or the other, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that the one person, one entity that is most taken for granted is God. Some of us have turned God into Jehovah, give me. We have turned God into, if you don't give me, I won't serve you. We almost become like a quid pro quo when we serve God with a heart of quid pro quo rather than a heart of service. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we if the Lord hadn't given us? You know, when I was meditating, the Lord took me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I haven't even touched my notes. This is the Holy Spirit leading. I studied the story of Saul, King Saul, who the Lord appointed as the very first king in the land of Israel. Prior to that time, they didn't have a king. But because Israel wanted to be like other nations, they cried out. Samuel was heartbroken. But God told Samuel, why are you heartbroken? It is not you that they rejected me. We're talking about the people who the Lord, with a strong arm, rescued from the land of Egypt. Took them through a journey that can only be described as turbulent. During the journey, the Lord was a guide for them. It was a pillar of cloud during the day. It was a pillar of fire at night. When they were thirsty, the Lord provided water. When they were hungry, the manna rained from heaven, heavenly food. When they felt like the manna was not enough, they complained again. And the Lord rained quail to the point where they had more than enough. Right. They did not need to have any change of clothing for many years. Their sandals was not worn. Yet they forgot all of this when they got to where they were about to pass into the promised land. How many of us today can consciously remember where you were before this very moment? How many battles that God may have fought and won on our behalf? Somebody here, before you got married, you know how you prayed to God for that husband or wife. Somebody here, before you had the baby, you know how you prayed. Even during the pregnancy, with all of some of us with negative news and all of that, we know how we believed God. And at this point, you have the children. How many of us sometimes get frustrated? Somebody here, before you got that job, you know how much you prayed. And then the Lord provided the job. Yet, there is a circle of complaining. You are there. The job you prayed for. And then during the course of the job, you prayed for the promotion. The Lord blessed you with the promotion. He singled you out for promotion, but yet it still was not enough. where there was a mist of people gathered together to speak negatively about this blessing that the Lord, that you probably have forgotten you are there. In fact, your voice is probably the loudest because you have forgotten. Brother Dickmore quoted Numbers 14, verse 28. I am going to tell you that that is one of the most fearful scripture in the Word of God. Whatever you say in my presence. Remember that when we studied the book of Numbers 14, up until that point, the people were complaining. In fact, when we go to the book of Numbers 14 from verse 1, Numbers 14, starting from verse 1. Give me a second, I'll be there in a minute. The Bible says the children of Israel, after their exodus, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. What an ungrateful set of people. The Lord with a mighty hand delivered them from the land of captivity. He more or less buttered their bread while in the wilderness. It became to me at this point, I said to myself in notation, that these people had already taken what God had done for them for granted. Otherwise, why would you open your mouth and say, if only we had died? Remember that whatever we say in the presence, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Meaning that our God, this God that we should fear, is everywhere. So we have to be very careful what we say. Now I want to go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Where the Bible says, in everything, I want to emphasize the word in everything. Give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Emphasis mine. This is God's general will for us to give thanks in everything, not for everything. There are things that God would not expect you to give thanks for. If you are sick, you cannot give thanks to God for being sick. But in the midst of the sickness, why don't you give God thanks? Because all things work together for your good. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I. This was a man who had lost everything, but yet he still had a reason to give thanks. He looked within all the situation. He said, for the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus was someone who also, if we look at his life, he was thankful. Jesus was thankful. Let's give two instances of where he was thankful. When he was about to feed the 4,000 people, minus men and women and children, the Bible tells us in the book of John that he gave thanks. He gave thanks for what he had. When we learn to give God thanks for what we have, guess what? The miracle of the multiplication will be applied. God, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that the Lord, this God that we serve, he exalts his word above himself. So if God tells us that in every situation, it is his will for his children to give thanks, why should we not give thanks? The same words that we use to give thanks are the same words, or rather the same mouth that we use to give thanks should not be the same mouth we use to grumble and complain. When you look at 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, the Bible says that do not quench the Holy Spirit. It tells me then that whenever we complain, whenever we grumble, we are quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. Whenever we exhibit a heart of ungratefulness or ingratitude, because if we do not give thanks, then you are grumbling and you are complaining. The Bible has admonished us by the word of God that in everything, give thanks. Because why? This is the will of God for every one of us. Now, that is why at every point in time, we all need to ask ourselves this deliberate question. That what do we have if not for God? What can we boast on if God did not give us? The life that we live, the breath that we breathe, opening your eyes in the morning, the fact that somebody calls your name and you can respond, the fact that you put your feet on the floor and you can walk and you can move around, the fact that you drink water and the water goes in the right way it should, you go to the bathroom, everything is the way it should be, is a cause, if nothing else, but to give thanks. Amen. God cannot stand on gratitude. In fact, when I came to the realization that the most taken for granted person or entity is God, I humbled myself again and I said, if God can be taken for granted by the ones that he created, who am I? Now it beholds on you and I, we have a responsibility to live in a consciousness of thanksgiving. To live in a consciousness of gratitude. To live in a consciousness of but for God. When we live in that consciousness, then we can easily have a heart that is filled with gratitude. We can easily say thank you to the simple things people do for us. We would consciously not take anything for granted that has been done for us. Amen. We all always need to think to our before right now. If I ask everyone to just sit down and take a cursory look at their lives in the last few years, and I ask you, why don't you go ahead and write what you think that the Lord has done for you? If you do not have anything to write, then you are a very ungrateful person. If nothing else, the fact that you are even alive at this point is enough to thank God. Joyce Meyer says we don't need to try to complain. Complaining is already a part of our fabric. Or if otherwise, why do children complain? Who teaches a child to complain? But I personally, using my own children, I make them consciously say thank you. Sometimes I have to call them back. Did you say thank you? But if it was to complain, it is very easy. That means that it is part of our consciousness. Interestingly enough, during this past week, I had a discussion with my supervisor at work. So he was telling me that they had a meeting for just the supervisors. And at the meeting, the overall director asked everyone to start what's called a gratitude journal. He said that the purpose behind the gratitude journal is that if you can look for at the very most, no, don't write more than three things, because what you want to do is write three things today, write a set of three things tomorrow. Don't repeat what you have written in the last 2 days. On the third day, look for three new things to write about. Even if it's as simple as the fact that, the sun is yellow today and I can see it, it's something to be grateful for. As simple as negligent as this sounds, it's worth doing. And the reason is because he also told me that scientists have found out that whenever we display an attitude of ingratitude, of self-ego, pride, all these negative emotions, that scientists have found out that there's a negative chemical that is injected into the body. It's called cortisol. And cortisol lasts in your body for 3 to 4 hours. But when you have a deliberate attitude, this is on the secular level, not spiritual. So imagine that if, I'm going to go back to my point now, but I'm saying that imagine if the secular is talking about the importance of being grateful. As a church, children of God, we do not have any excuse. The Bible also tells us that the judgment will start within the church. If the children of the world can be telling themselves this, we do not have a choice. We do not have any excuse. And then he said to me that when we exhibit a consciousness of gratitude, there's a good chemical that is injected into the body. It's called oxytocin. Now, oxytocin, ironically, stays in your body for only a few minutes. What does that tell you? That you have to, that it takes more gratitude to out. It takes for you to even come at par. If you wanted to scale, put on a scale, cortisol produced from negative emotions, and then oxytocin that is produced from positive emotions. Initially, the scale is going to be this tilted this way, because obviously one is going to weigh more than the other. But if you continuously begin to exhibit a thankful attitude, even as little as thank you to saying thank you to one spouse, thank you to your children, thank you for somebody picking something up for you, thank you. When I go to work, the fact that I can go into my place of employment, I say thank you. The fact that I can power off my computer, I say thank you. What I'm saying is that when we begin to pile on gratitude, it becomes harder for you to display ingratitude. This is just from science. So how much, like I said, we children of God, we do not have any excuse whatsoever. Complaining, grumbling, all of those negative emotions and all of their relations, every one of them, including their mothers-in-laws and fathers-in-laws, grieve the Holy Spirit. They grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that it's from the with joy that we draw. So if it is with joy that we draw, I want you to the flip side. What will happen if you do not have joy? You do not have a right to draw. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, and that's why I love David. David was a man that understood the importance of gratitude. Enter into his courts with praise, with thanksgiving. So when you go into God's court with praise and thanksgiving, why do you think that with grumbling or complaining you will remain in the court? What makes you or gives you the right to think that the Lord who wants to answer your prayer is going to give you an answer when you have a heart filled with ungratitude? Or you have a heart filled with self-ego? Or a heart filled with pride or rebellion? Samuel told Saul that rebellion is like witchcraft and God hates witchcraft. So this is a consciousness for you and I to live purposely and intentionally with a heart that is filled with gratitude. Even when it doesn't look like it is going right, find a reason to say thank you, Jesus. Examples of people in the Bible who displayed, apart from the children of Israel, and apart from Saul, who also displayed an attitude of ingratitude, is Korah, Dothan, and Abiram. Their story is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 1, from verse 1. They were from the tribe of Levites. The Lord has set the tribe of Levite apart. What does that sound? You're not displaying these verses? Numbers 16 from verse 1. Anyway, we know that from God, the Lord had appointed and set aside the Levites. And out amongst the Levites, the Lord selected Korah, he selected Dathan, and he selected Abiram. Then when we now fast forward to verse 9, what did Moses tell them? He said, is it a small thing to you that God, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the works of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them? Next verse. And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you. And are you seeking the priesthood also? These people the Lord selected, he hand-selected them. But all of a sudden, they felt that their anointing was even more than that of Moses. Because of time, we're not going to study. But if you continue study, we'll find out how their end was. It was not a good end. The earth opened and he swallowed every one of them, including their wives, their children, everything. Why? Because they rebelled. A rebellion comes from a place of ingratitude. Now, once again, we have already spoken about Saul, King Saul, who the Lord selected as the very first king of Israel. The Lord had a plan. He had a purpose for him. When he was selected, he did not see himself as anything. But when we go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, this is after the Lord had told Saul to go and annihilate the Amalekites. But rather than carry out the assignment that the Lord had given him, he carried out the assignment in his own way, thinking that it was okay. And rather than he at least be repentant, he had an excuse. It was because of the people. And what did Samuel tell him? Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did the Lord not anoint you king over Israel? Saul embraced the spirit of pride. He became bigger than the position that he was given. He was selected by God. He forgot all of that. He decided that he was going to be a God unto himself. He refused to listen to the man of God, to the point that when the man of God was about to leave, he tore Samuel's gown, and Samuel left with a curse on him. Now, on the flip side, let's look at the people in the Bible who we should emulate, people who displayed gratitude, who never forgot where they came from. We look at people like Joseph. He was unjustly sold into slavery by his brothers, who should have protected him. From slavery, he went to the dungeon. From the dungeon, the Lord exalted him because he had a heart of gratitude. And look at Job, who lost everything, but still kept up hope and believing that the Lord who takes away is the Lord who will give. And we know that the Lord gave him a better end than even the start. Let's look at Daniel. David, Daniel, Ruth. Let's look at King Jehoshaphat. Thanksgiving was what helped King Jehoshaphat against the three ite kings. When I say ite, I mean they came in droves. The three different kingdoms came against one king. Jehoshaphat in his mind knew that there was no way, or by himself in his own strength, he would have been able to be victorious. But what did he do? He went to the God of heaven, and then he lifted up his voice and asked, are you not the Lord God of heaven, in this book of 2 Chronicles? And the Lord All he said was, the Lord said, let him stand apart and see the victory that he was going to wrought. All Jehoshaphat and the armies of Israel did was, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endureth forever. When he were yelling and shouting and chanting, the Bible tells us that the enemies became confused and started killing each other. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. The God that we serve, he does not change. The God that delivered Jehoshaphat is still the God of today. The situation may look like it is dire, but the Lord is God in every situation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. That was all Jehoshaphat did. And the Lord gave him a resounding victory against his enemies. One that he did not even need to lift up a finger, because the Lord went out on his behalf. Lastly, last week, PC quoted from the book of Psalms 124. And I want to read. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. Hallelujah. But when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our head. Hallelujah. But the Lord, is our help. The last verse says, from several verses 7 to 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Why don't you shout hallelujah? The Bible says that all things work together. In Romans 8 verse 28. If you do not take anything else away, take this away. That, and we know, say we know. Say, I know. Call your name and say, you know. I, Omori Ola, I know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, and I love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Oh, Father, I thank you. All things, why don't you prophesy that for yourself? All things work together for my good. Why don't you prophesy that for this church? All things work together, because I know. I don't have to see it, but I know by faith that all things work together for my good. Because we love God. Father, we love you, and we know that all things work together. Amen. In conclusion, brethren, God's general will for us is to always be thankful in accordance to his word. Always remember, if nothing else, that what do you have? What can you boast of if the Lord hadn't given? What can you say that, even if you think that you worked hard for it, what about that other person who did not work hard for it? Do you think you are better than them? But by his grace, we know that all things work together for our good. I want everyone to be upstanding, because this kind of message requires a prayer of repentance. Search your hearts and begin to ask that the Lord have mercy. Every time you have grumbled against him, every time you have complained against him, oh, Father, in every way we have complained and grumbled against you. Lord, your word says in the book of Numbers 14 and 28, that, Lord, whatever we say in your presence, you will do. Lord, we do not want you to manifest any form of negative things that we have done. Lord, we do not want you to answer any complaining. Father, we come by the way of the blood of Jesus. We ask that the blood begin to wash us clean and wipe the slate clean for us. Father, we thank you, because we know in accordance to your word in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Father, we give you thanks. We praise the beauty of your holiness. Receive our praise, O God. Father, we praise you. We honor you. We bless your name, O God. From the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, Father, we praise you. You are Lord above all nations. We give you glory, O God. We give you honor, O God. Who is like unto you, O God? No one. You who dwelleth on high. You dwelleth in the secret place. Father, we give you praise. We give you worship. Father, we bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name we've given praise. Oh, Father, receive our thanks. And may the word of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't you give the Lord a clap offering this morning?